Hey, how was spring break? Did you get one?
I didn't really. I kind of tooled around in Tuscaloosa, which was nice when all the students are out of town and you can get around a little easier. And my highlight, I guess, of my week was I was able to tailgate with a bunch of Alabama fans before the baseball game in Hoover on Saturday. I know you were down in Miami, but the weather wasn't great, but it was good people and good food, and a good time was had and, out at the Hoover Met. So don't get to do that very often, man. It was fun just to kind of hang out and talk sports and life with people.
Tell me this, because I was on my way back and was not able to get there in time for even the second game, but how were the crowds this weekend? I know how big the series was, and it kind of messed things up with the weather on Sunday, which forced a Saturday doubleheader in less than ideal circumstances. But what'd you think?
They weren't great, and I think the weather had a lot to do with that. It was gloomy and overcast and even rainy a little bit, but it wasn't cold, so it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad either. It's if it had been a really nice weekend where the sun's out, and there'd have been probably a few more hundred people, maybe even 1,000 more people, but it's still March in Alabama, so the crowds weren't excellent, I'll say that.
So as a guy who covered the beat, as you did for a few seasons, and now just keep following it because you enjoy the game, I want to start with the Aggies. May not be as talented as you would expect an undefeated team through 20-plus games to be. From everything I heard, though, they do a great job of just kind of grinding it out and combining a pretty talented squad with one that that makes it awfully tough to get a win against.
Absolutely. Their Friday night guy, I think, I want to say struck out 14 Alabama guys. So they do have some talent, but your point is well taken in that as a whole, you don't look at that team and say, man, we're 25, 26, whatever it is, games into the season, and they're unbeaten. But they even, it was evident in that the first game of the doubleheader Saturday, Alabama was up. They're bringing in their closer in the eighth inning. And it looks like Alabama's going to give them their first loss, but Texas A&M, they keep stringing the bats together, and they make it very difficult on you. And then you look up, and they're up 10-5. So, they were down 5-3 or something to start the inning, and then coming out of the eighth, they're up 5. So just one of those gritty teams that makes you earn every out. And it's almost like you see that a lot in postseason baseball. They're taking that approach to every game of the year, and it makes it very difficult to put one of those teams away. So getting that, salvaging that last game of the series, I thought was big for Alabama. Given the way they played earlier in the day, should have won that game to win the third game of the series. That was big for them.
So when you watch Alabama, is it more complicated than they've just got to throw strikes right now, or is that something that's going to change things dramatically for them?
Yeah, they you can't keep getting free bases. And they're struggling a little bit right now with that closer situation. Ray got touched up a little bit Friday night. He's been really good this year. He gets touched up a little bit. But then he comes back in the second game Saturday, I believe, and throws pretty well. I left a little earlier, so I may be wrong about that. I got a little waterlogged. But
I understand.
You got to throw strikes, and you can't get three bases. There's a lot to like about this team. You look up and you're, 3-3 after your first two series, and we've talked about how kind of crazy these first four series of the year for Alabama is. Coming out of the gate with those four series in a row, to be where they are right now, probably not where they want to be, but they're not in a bad spot either.
They will be in Mobile tonight taking on South Alabama. You can hear the game starting at 6:25 on Tide 99.1. And then the weekend series actually is Thursday, Friday, Saturday down in Gainesville, Florida. We're talking with Aaron Suttles, beat writer covering Alabama athletics for the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. The primary beat is indeed football, though. Spring practice resumed yesterday. They're off today, back in full pads, I believe, tomorrow for the first time. And I would imagine it's a lot of working the cobwebs out after spring break for the Tide.
Yeah, just getting back into the grind, getting back in football shape, getting those muscles sore and They were back out there and practiced outside for the first time. You know, they still got 13 practices and scrimmages to go before, you know, culminating with 8A on April 18th. So a lot of work to be done. You know, I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, I guess in the back of my head I knew, you know, coming out of the Sugar Bowl what this year would be. But it really hit me when I started writing about, you know, replacing 9 starters on offense at very key positions, particularly the skill position. They got a lot of work to do. And, you know, I think a lot of people are anxious to get a look at what this team may be like offensively on April 18th to see what the quarterbacks look like. And can Derrick Henry be an every down back rather than just kind of the fourth quarter, you know, mauling people, running them over? Can he carry it from, does he have the skills to be an every down back? Can our Darius Stewart and Chris Black and Cam Sims, can they take over for Amari Cooper and DeAndre White and Christian Jones and wide receivers? You know, a lot of different areas that we have question marks on. I think defensively they'll be pretty solid, other than can they find someone to fill in for Landon Collins? So, you know, defenses, while it hasn't been 2011 defense the last couple of years, still pretty elite in terms of college football ranks. So I think all the questions mainly the fans are going to have is, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. And through 2 practices, you know, we're not seeing much. They're not even in shoulder pads yet. So we're just early in getting this thing cranked up. But it's nice to see these guys out there and get a look at some of these younger players.
I've heard this used. I think it's a fair question. I want to get your input on it. Will Kenyon Drake, if 100%, be last year's Amari Cooper, in terms of the guy who is, Lane Kiffin is finding ways to get the ball in his hands as much as possible?
In terms of being a mismatch guy, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't mean sticking him exclusively at wideout. I'm just talking about being the go-to guy in that regard.
Yeah, he will be the guy that they'll create favorable matchups for. He won't get as many targets, either running or receiving, as Amari did. I don't think Amari was just that unique of a player. But Kenyon's got such a unique skill set in that he can transition to running back and wide receiver and has those skills and just has that that quick twitch ability, I guess you would call it, to make people miss in very short places and elite speed. That, you know, Lane Kiffin, kind of like a mad scientist, I would imagine, you know, just kind of foaming at the mouth, thinking of different ways he can use this guy. So absolutely, he's, you know, he's a big weapon to get back. And I think we all kind of forget that Alabama played the last 9 games of the year without him. You know, they got hurt in the Ole Miss game, which I think was the 5th game of the year. And we kind of forget because they still had Amari, and it was kind of Amari's breakout year. Everybody knew Amari was good, but Amari had a season for the ages. So you kind of forget that offense was without one of their biggest weapons in Kenyon. And make no mistake about it, Lane Kiffin knows how to create mismatches with his weapons. He said it from the day he stepped on campus, that my job is to get the best of all of our best players. And every offensive coordinator said that, but he went out and proved it. I mean, what he did with Amari Cooper and what he did during those 5 games with Kenyon Drake proved it. So to get Kenyon back is huge for this offense, and just gives them one more feather in their cap, at least in terms of skill position player.
I know we won't know until the guy takes a hit, until he's in an actual game situation, whether that's spring or otherwise. But from what you're hearing, how close is he to being the guy that people were salivating about last year after the first few weeks of the season?
I think he's good right now. I don't know if he's all the way back right now, but I think there's no question he'll be back by the time they go over to Dallas to play Wisconsin. And you mentioned it, a lot of it, and I've never had a knee injury, but I have had some pretty severe ankle sprains, and even with those, it's in the back of your mind, do I trust it? Because you know how bad it hurts when you turn an ankle. And I can only imagine that it's, you know, several degrees more with a knee when you're making a plant. Can I trust this knee when I need it the most to do what it used to do? And a lot of that is, you know, psychological. It's in your head, because the doctors aren't going to put you out there unless you're ready to go. So that'll just be trial and error with Kenyon. And, you know, he's done a little bit of that. Most of the stuff he's done to this point is straight line running. I know when the knee is fully strengthened and he tested for the first time, he'll go through those fears. But I have no doubt that given the advancements in that surgery and how far it's come over the last 20 years, that by the time Alabama kicks the season off, he'll be ready to go.
Last thing, and I'll let you run, and we're talking with Aaron Settles, Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. It's not your beat necessarily anymore, but to me there is no question that the Southeastern Conference in really a 12-month span now has upped the ante in terms of its involvement nationally in college basketball. The league as a whole took a step up. Auburn made the investment with Bruce Pearl. Now what we've seen in the last 24 hours, Ben Howland, the guy in Starkville, the belief that many people have of the targets that Bill Battle is chasing first and foremost for the University of Alabama. How much more fun and how quickly do you think it's going to be a ton of fun to watch SEC basketball again up close beyond Lexington, Kentucky?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome for the league. I really think that. And, you know, it kind of, you know, you mentioned Bruce Pearl. We know what John Calipari has done, but you know, when South Carolina went and got Martin, Frank Martin, he hasn't turned it around yet at South Carolina. But that was a lot of people looked at that move when Frank made that move as they kind of shook their head. But it's falling in line with what we're seeing now. I mean, there's no doubt that the stakes have been raised. You know, these schools have a little bit more money to spend. They got that SEC network money. They've got these huge television contract money coming in. And they're making investments in their programs. And they're doing that through facilities, obviously, and then coaching. Alabama, I can say this. I've heard enough back channeling. Alabama's going to spend money. And when I say money, they're going to spend a lot of money. And depending on if they get their guy, it's Greg Marshall. Don't shake your head if you don't think Alabama's committed to winning. The number I'm hearing is $4 million. They're not scared to spend $4 million on coach. That number may not seem like a lot because we're used to the escalating salaries in football. But to put that into context, I mean, that's Nick Saban money when he was hired away from Miami. $4 million, that's what he was making. And that was shocking then. That was 2007. Anthony Grant was making $1.92 million a year. Alabama's committed to, if they can get their guy, they're willing to pay top five money nationally. And that is a huge investment. And it shows you what Alabama athletics, they value their basketball program. They heard the fans, and they're going to go out and make their best effort to get the best coach they can get. And they're going to, you know, if it takes writing a really, really, really big check with a lot of zeros, that's what they're going to do.